this.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mask.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
Hill misses. Rebound goes to the Cavs. J.R. Smith brings it back out. Throws it to Hill. Hill shot blocked. And will go to overtime. You get the feeling J.R. Smith thought they had the lead.
He didn't know the score.
I think exactly. That's a bad mistake by J.R. Smith.
And LeBron James was trying to get a timeout.
Great job from Smith to get the rebound, but dribble it away.
In our Tom Ferretti studios is Christopher L. Gasper of the Boston Globe on an agenda-free Friday, which is brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. You saw the ending of last night's game, Chris. Your thoughts?
I mean, that's, to me, is J.R. Smith in a nutshell, and I was, you know, ranting and raving about it all during the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, he's somebody who's lazy, who's lethargic, who doesn't focus. I mean, he is, that is him. I mean, to me, that play defines his career.
Yes.
Right? He makes what is a key clutch play to get the offensive rebound and then has no idea what's going on and starts dribbling it out like he's Bob Cousy, you know, in whatever year the NBA Finals that was.
Like he's killing a penalty.
And all of his teammates are either shrugging their shoulders, they have their hands out, like, what's going on? LeBron's like, give me the ball. I mean, unbelievable to me. And I just look at a guy like that, and I know people have said it before, I felt this way before, but I mean, if LeBron leaves, you can't fault him. In fact, my Uber driver last week in Cleveland, I get in the Uber, and like the first thing he says, he's like, oh, yeah, they haven't given LeBron. He's like, LeBron's playing with trash. I don't blame him if he leaves this time. And that was before the finals. So when you look at it, to me, the other thing it just solidified to me is, how incredible is LeBron to get these bums to the NBA Finals?
Well, talk to your weekend partner there. He's blaming LeBron for the loss.
How so?
The end of that third quarter, I thought he got a little gaggy, a little cold. Couple of bunnies that he should have had. I know he had 51 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds. It's the best playoff game he's maybe ever played.
But he still
left a little on the table there. And you can't give an inch to this Warriors team, especially in the third quarter like he did last night, because they're going to capitalize. And they did. I thought he got tight in the end of that third quarter.
The end of the third quarter? Yeah, but yeah. They could have won the game if George Hill hits 2 free throws.
All right, yeah.
George Smith does this thing. He took the charge. I didn't like them overturning that call. I thought that was a huge play.
George Hill is skating again today, too. It's all on J.R. Smith because of the bonehead play at the end of the game, and I get it. But I think that LeBron left a little on the table last night. I do.
So you want him to be perfect, then?
Pretty close. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's not a video game, so
Chris, he was for most of the game.
There's
look at the first, second, and fourth quarters, he was near perfect.
I mean, with that team, he's going to have the ball in his hands so much that there are going to be turnovers, there are going to be missed shots. I mean, I don't know how much better he can play.
After a pull-up three with 4 and change to go in that third quarter, where he was really like, oh, wow, you could tell. Okay,
yeah.
Like, he's dialed in tonight.
Sure.
Then he has a floating shot from 7 feet away, miss. Misses a 3-point shot from 27 feet away.
3 I remember
and change
that one.
Left.
Yes.
Misses a 12-foot shot, a floater. Misses a 6-foot bunny with about a minute and a half left. Like, it just, there was a
but
couple
these are
there
not,
at the
but
end.
These are not uncontested shots.
No. Martin, do they write bunny on the play sheet, or is that you?
No, that's me. I remember.
Thank you.
I wrote it there, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not part of the official game lexicon.
Bunny.
Yeah, I mean, 6-foot bunny miss.
I mean, I know the expectations for LeBron are high, and some of those shots, you know, maybe you went back and watched it, but I don't think they were like, it's not like an uncontested layup. Like, yes, you're in the lane. You're 6 feet away. Draymond Green is challenging your shot. Should you make it? Yes, but you missed it. I mean, it's not like kids, you know, it's not like there's cones or folding chairs out there
exactly.
from 6 feet away,
and, Murray,
and he misses. Like,
especially when you have to shoot 30-something times because you have literally nobody that you're playing with, that you have to shoot it 30 times. There's going to be times.
You can't use that as an excuse last night either because Kevin Love still had 21 points. Kevin Love was good last night.
He was good.
It's not an excuse. He hit some buckets, but I would not say Kevin Love. He sucked defensively. But when a guy has to shoot that much because he's not playing with anyone, there's going to be times when you miss.
Well,
like,
the other
you just
thing
can't...
to me is it's the third quarter. So then they still play the fourth quarter. They're in position to win. It's like, okay, yeah, those third quarter baskets would have been helpful, but that wasn't the game. There was another 12 minutes to go.
Do you blame anyone other than J.R. Smith for what he did? In other words, should Lou have jumped in and called a timeout? Should they have been aware that this guy was on Planet Zippy and jumped in because they still had that timeout?
No, I mean, the one thing is I think some of the guys on the floor... Now, again, we remember J.R. Smith, right? There was one in the Eastern Conference Finals last year where he was dribbling towards the stands, turned around, chucked up a three, and it went in. So I think his teammates are like, JR takes crazy shots. He could have tried that layup, but he's going to try some crazy JR jumper. He's trying to get space. I did think some of those guys, though, sooner could have realized, oh my God, this guy has no clue what's going on. You know, JR is on, you know, planet absentee here. We better call a timeout because he doesn't know what's going on. But it's if it were any other player, I would put more on the teammates, except for this guy takes some of the craziest, most wild shots. So for him to be dribbling away from the basket, like if I'm one of his teammates, I'm thinking, oh yeah, he's going to check up like a jumper here. Like, we're good. Yeah, he should probably give it to LeBron, but JR is going to do his JR thing. I'm not thinking he doesn't know the score, and he's trying to run out the clock.
I mean, the only one to me responsible there is him.
Oh, so bad.
Him. Like, now, for that part of it, Hill missing the free throw. Make the
Hill's
free throw.
Really skating today.
I mean, make the free throw. Really. Jeez, you get that situation, you can't miss the free throw, and you get a chance to put Golden State away on that floor. I was chuckling earlier. I totally forgot there was a caller earlier that pointed out, in that game where J.R. Smith went over to dap with Jason Terry. And let the guy run right in and score. Remember that?
Yeah.
What an idiot this guy is. He's an asshat.
Oh, he didn't just dap him up. He gave him a full-fledged, like, dap and hug. There was, like, a hug there. A hug is like Milwaukee's inbounding the ball. Like, his back is to the court, and he's hugging Terry as the ball is being inbounded, and they get, like, a layup. Yeah.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
The charge call. You didn't like the reversal of
it. No, I didn't. I didn't like it. There wasn't enough there to change that. And, I know you guys rail against replay all the time, and I think, look, if it's an obvious mistake, correct it. But that was really close. It was 50-50, and they made the call on the floor. And the other problem I have is that they clearly reviewed it under false pretenses.
Yes.
There's no way. Like, it was so obvious. They knew he was outside the restricted, and they just wanted to take a really good look at it. And even when they did, I look at it, and I'm like, okay, LeBron's kind of still moving, but I don't know, like, that's so close that, to me, there's not enough to change that call
this
in that
is,
situation.
Oh, my God. I mean, just, I have a million problems with replay, but that's one of them. It's like, if it takes you that long and there's that much dispute, then you don't overturn it. It's only if it's 100% indisputable, that word, indisputable. And you had Bill Jaffe, the referee
Steve Jaffe,
on the ESPN broadcast, the ABC broadcast, who was a ref for 20 years, you know, he was a ref for a long time, saying,
Steve Jaffe,
I think it should stay.
Yeah.
And so it's like...
So NBA, though, right? The guy that was there for 20 years is like, oh, yeah, this is definitely going to stay.
Right.
Who was the guy that used to do it? Was it Mike Carey from CBS? Who was like, never
wrong.
Right with the NFL? Yeah, that's Steve Jaffe.
So it's just a replay problem on so many levels there. Real quick, because I want your thoughts on both of these things, and we'll go to the calls. Brady not showing up this week again. Him working out with Edelman, apparently solo in the bubble. This whole thing, you know, another week of Brady not being there.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it's not good, and I had sort of heard what Mike had heard, and kudos to him for getting, you know, multiple sources on it. But one additional thing that I had sort of heard on that is that, you know, Tom is reluctant to really even go in the building. Like, he kind of goes straight to this bubble and throws, and then he's, you know, he's out of there.
So there's like that. There's the suite holder, that back entrance on North Ave or whatever that is, that he slips in that sort of back way, goes right to the bubble and goes right out. Doesn't even go to his locker.
But he's not going into the building frequently.
Yeah. That is so dysfunctional. Like, think of that. He won't go in the building. I'm not going in there.
Do you think we're still at a dysfunctional stage here,
Yes,
Chris?
I do. And I think part of it is the time of year. This is a time of year in the end. I don't think there's any urgency. There's not any urgency on either side, Belichick or Brady, to give at this point. But I do think before training camp starts, you know, they need to sit down, have a summit, and sort of figure it out. Because you can't have this type of tension. You can't have this type of disagreement and acrimony when you start the season, which really, you know, sort of starts with training camp. Like, that's when the mission really starts. So I think right now both guys can dig in their heels because it doesn't really cost them anything, you know. But I think once you get to training camp, this needs to be settled one way or the other.
This is so bad. I mean, really, it is so bad. The you know, I always go back. I've told you this a million times. That documentary in 2009 with Bill and Tom sitting at the desk going over the game plan and the offense. I always thought, that's it. That is it right there. That is master control of the Patriots football operation. That's it. That is how it has worked for 18 years. The two brains sitting together at a desk. That's where it all grows from. That is that's what spawns the Patriot dynasty. And now Brady won't go into the same building. Like, he won't go into the building because he doesn't want to see the guy. That blows me away.
Tiger Mask, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mavs.
I love it.
You were right, Mavs.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we feel it's important to us is to win. So that's really what we're trying to do.
So then there's the whole fun narrative, or the culture war, with the Patriots, as I like to call it, people piling on the Patriot way. And is that legitimate? Let's get into that with Chris Gasper and Chris and Rainham. Go ahead, Chris. What are your thoughts on it?
Hey, guys. Of all the awful things that have happened since February 4th, having to listen to the Eagles talk trash and really not being able to say much back to them or the fans or the stupid players is the worst part. You put it great when you said it's piling on right now. I don't know if it's like a smear campaign or what it is, but just having to listen to this fun thing is by far one of the worst effects of losing that Super Bowl, because I truly believe if they didn't lose that Super Bowl, do you think any of this butterfly effect?
You're breaking up. It doesn't have nearly the voice or the pull. None of this stuff does. The whole Butler decision, the whole they have no fun, they're robots there, you know, it all gets lost in the name of winning. As Chris Gasper would say, the great line, winning's a great deodorant. But when you don't win, it stinks. And when this thing sort of stinks, and I think it's unfair to the Patriots. And what I think, Chris, is happening is because Brady and Gronkowski are sitting out, and part of their rationale apparently is they're not having fun or they aren't appreciated, that it feeds this narrative. When I think Brady and Gronkowski are really separate stories, and it's not about, do you think Brady really cares about the fun atmosphere? Or is Brady all about winning? Don't you think Brady?
Well, I mean, how many times has he gone up there and said, I like positivity. I'm not a negative person. I mean, he's changed over the years. So I do think...
Well, that's true.
And the Seth Wickersham story mentioned the idea that Bill's sort of style of coaching, the joyless pursuit of perfection, is starting to grind on him a little bit. So maybe fun's not the right word, although that's the word that his surrogate, his wife, his spouse used, Giselle. But I think it as Tom's gotten older, like it's probably harder for somebody like Tom to buy into it because he's experienced the success. Like, I was thinking about this yesterday. You know who's, like, perfect for the Patriots? Because Stephon Gilmore talked, and he said, well, I have fun here. This is fun. You know, this place, if you don't like taking shortcuts, it's fun. And I'm like, you know what? I believe him. Like, he probably does think it's fun because he's never won. He never played in the playoffs. You know, he's being coached by Rex Ryan. So, yeah, it is fun. But if you've done it for 18, 19 years and you have won, maybe it's a little less fun.
I still think that reflects on Brady. I thought he could handle the grind. I thought that's what he was all about.
Well, and to me, it's one of the things that's really distinguished him is the drive.
Yeah.
Right? The drive is what has separated Brady. And look, I mean, at some point, it has to wane. I think it's been really unusual that he's been able to maintain it as long as he has. But the fact that he could go to all the Super Bowls he's gone to, win as many times as he has won, and still show up the next year with the same level of commitment and passion, to me has been extraordinary.
Yeah.
But that makes the fact that this is happening now all the more newsworthy.
What did he say in the final Tom versus Tom? What are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for? I mean, I think that speaks volumes.
That sucks. I mean, that does suck. Quickly, I read your comment in the Globe today, Chris. Yes. You think that Bill could stand to lighten up a little bit?
Just a skosh. Sort of the Tom Coughlin. It's one of those things where instead of being a hard ass all the time, you're a hard ass 75% of the time. And the players are like, wow, he really lightened up. I mean, this is great. It's like a tiny tweak you make and you get a ton of plaudits from your players, from the outside. And it's like, you didn't really change. You just gave a little bit. And I think that's really, all he needs to do. Just give a little bit. I mean, don't people mellow as they get older? He's 66 years old. I mean, he can just mellow just a little
no
bit.
No shot.
The way this is going with Brady, is he going to give an inch on Brady with
this? No. See, to me, that's what it's about now. If there had not been this whole flare-up,
yeah,
then fine. Maybe Bill would say, all right, fine, I get the message, fellas. Like, if there was some level of communication and give and take. But now that it's become about power and ego and territory, if I'm Belichick, I say, screw you. I'm going to get tougher.
Well, do you say, screw you, I'm going to get tougher and I'm going to stay? Or do you say, screw you, and basically say, ownership, you've undermined me because these players know I can't get rid of Tom. So I can't say, screw you, Tom. You don't like my style, too bad. You're out. We have another quarterback here, Jimmy G. He'll be fine anyway I coach him. Because at the end of the day, if you're the coach, you need buy-in. And if you're not getting buy-in from your leader, that's a problem.
We've got Max in the truck on the J.R. Smith thing last night. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? what is Jay? How does he not know the score of the game? How does he not know it's tied? Like, was he taking shots at Hennessy in the locker room at halftime?
You don't know, Max.
Like,
the guy's brain dead.
He's lost it, Felger. I don't know. Like, it's a tie game, and LeBron was freaking out. Like, I was sitting there, I was just laughing. I was like, he's going to dribble it out. They're going to go into overtime.
Well, go back and watch it. He's on ESPN. I saw a breakdown today where they rolled it back before the free throw shot, where J.R. Smith is sort of turning with his palms out back to the bench like, what are we in? What are we doing? Like, he needed to be told what the situation was and what to do. And he obviously didn't get the answer because he had no idea what to do when he got the ball. But he was in la-la land before the thing even came down. He was set up to do that.
Yeah, it just blows me away, though. You know, again, like I said, it sort of defines J.R. Smith. But just if that happened in a regular season game, I'd be irate. But for it to happen in the NBA Finals.
It's outrageous.
And you've been in the Finals 4 years in a row. You're trying to win a championship here. It's game one. So it's not like there's been a ton of travel and you're worn down. It's game one of this series in the NBA Finals on the road. What is, as it's going on, you realize it's sort of a must-have game for your team, and you're not locked in enough to know the score? Like, if you don't know the score in that situation, then when are you... You know, we talk about the Patriots, situational football, right? That's situational basketball at its most basic level. If you're not locked in at that point in that game, then when are you ever going to be locked in?
Like, can you imagine that? Like, George Hill's getting ready to shoot these free throws, and J.R. Smith's looking at him going... We ahead.
That's what happened. It's insane.
It's mind-blowing that he didn't know the score.
Ben in the car liked the overturned charging call. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, yeah, I mean, to me, it's and granted, I'm not even a LeBron fan, but, you know, I did want them to win because I don't like the Warriors' excessive dominance of the league. But, you know, you read the block charge rule, and it says the defender has to establish his position prior to contact and prior to his upward motion beginning. And to me, clearly that didn't happen. You know, LeBron tried to sneak in after he had already started his shooting motion, so it just was a clear overturn to me. I don't really know why everybody's harping on that.
I don't think it was clear at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was. It was Steve Javy was still saying afterwards that, you know, basically he thought it was a, that's an NBA official, saying that he thought it was a charge, and he talked about a little bit what that caller talked about, basically saying, look at his left leg. You know, that left leg is planted. He's like, yes, there's some upper body shifting, but he's like, that's allowed. He said, I always looked at the leg. He's like, his legs are planted. His left leg is planted. He's there before Durant's there. So, you know, I mean, I think it was a 50-50 call.
Right.
But once you make the call on the court and you go look at replay, to tell me that's a clear overturn, I didn't see that.
Replay's not there for 50-50. Replay's there for 100-0.
I mean, to me, this is like in baseball. This is the basketball equivalent in baseball of, I call this guy safe, his hand came off the bag for a millisecond, and the guy left the tag on, so now he's out, which I think is the worst thing in sports.
Oh, it is. I hate that. I hate that more than
there's
anything.
There's a million like that. But this is what it would be like if they ever decided to replay pass interference, where, like, everything's a 50. You could call on any play you want, and you're allowed contact, but you're not allowed to restrict movement. So how can you really tell if that arm bar is restricting him or not? And it's like, if they ever go to replay on pass interference, I may be out. Like, I couldn't sit through that.
Oh, gosh, it's ridiculous. The judgment calls. I mean, holding is another one. Like, you know, you could go drive yourself crazy with that one, too. Chris, I said earlier, that you know what I would have done on that play?
What?
Or I would like to see done on that play? No whistle.
Yeah,
no whistle.
Yeah.
30 seconds to go. Durant goes in there. LeBron jumps in to get in his way. As long as he doesn't hack his arms, everybody knows what it is. You don't blow the whistle.
Well, you know, it's funny. That's to me, one of the problems with the NBA, though, is, like, you know, I feel like the officials at that point, like, they want to be involved. Like, they're kind of the show, you know? I feel like there's a little too much of that in the NBA.
Okay, we haven't heard from Chris since the Celtics bowed out in Game 7. One, his reaction to that, did they blow it? What's his, you know, feeling? If you're a Celtics fan, how should you be feeling this week? We'll get to that with Gasper right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Well, the only threes that I ever really have concern with are the threes that aren't good ones. Any of the inside-out threes, and you even go through, like, the end of the game, we had a great sequence where Morris posts, they double the post, which, by the way, if they're doubling the post and they're over-helping, like, the shot you're going to get is the inside-out kick-out or driving kick, right? So with Morris's kick-out, he made a perfect pass. Smart made a beautiful extra pass to Al. Great look. Next time down the floor, Morris posts, gets fouled. We had action on the weak side for Jalen and Jason set up. The opportunity for Morris to take advantage of that, go to the line, was the right move. Smart makes a great play on the offensive rebound. And, you know, one of the best shots in basketball is an offensive rebound kick out three. And we had two of them in a row, you know, that I think those guys make. And I believe in them. You know, even when a night's not going great, you know, I've seen Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart and Al Horford and on down the line, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, on their off nights, step up and make the next one. And we just weren't, we weren't able to capitalize in those moments, but that was at no fault of making the right basketball play.
All right, Gaspar, I play that just as an example of what I think has been a pretty hyper defense, strong defense from Ainge and Stevens on the Celtics' approach at the end of that Game 7 against Cleveland. They're happy with their looks, they say. Sure. They're happy with their approach, they say. You just heard it right there. Do you agree with them, or do you think the Celtics gagged it away and could have, should have done more? Could Stevens have done more?
I would disagree with them. I think that they could have done more. I think that at times, and I understand what Brad's saying. I mean, look, their team, they believe, they worship at the altar of the three, a lot like Houston. You saw the same thing the next night with Houston. Those teams are not going to stop shooting threes. But to me, the difference is the Celtics have Al Horford. And I thought Al was plugged in that game, at least in the beginning. And I thought that something I had seen throughout the course of the playoffs, even when they were winning, was that some of these young guys, you know, Terry Rozier, to me, chief among them, when they were jacking up these threes and feeling good about themselves and had it going, there would be nights where Al had it going too, and it's like he's not getting enough touches. And I thought in the fourth quarter they could have gone through Al more. I think he shot the ball three times. He was 1 for 3. I think they could have gone through him more and set him up more, particularly when the threes aren't falling. The other thing...
Well, and one of the shots he took was a three.
Was a three. The other thing with Brad, and again, I understand the philosophy, I respect it, and it worked for them up until that game, but I thought in the fourth quarter of Game 7, when LeBron has 12 of the 28 points, you got to double him. Kyle Korver was 1 of 6 on three in that game. The only shot Jeff Green made in that quarter, yes, it was a big three, it put him ahead, but at that point, if I'm going to lose, I'm not letting LeBron beat me. These other guys are going to have to beat me. And yes, LeBron will pass out of the double team and they'll get, you know, they'll get an open look from three and you're going to have to close that out and it's not going to be easy. But I thought they should have at least mixed in some doubles in the four. You cannot let that guy. That's all he had. I mean, literally, it's LeBron and like four guys from the YMCA. Like, you cannot let him beat. You have to double. Even if you just mix it in to try and throw him off, to slow him down so he's not sure if you're going to double, you got to double some there
should,
in the four.
Should the Celtics have won that game? Was it a gag?
I mean, I don't want to say it was a gag, but I think they should have won the series. They were the better team. I think they established that throughout the course of the series. And the amazing thing to me is that, you know, everyone I talk to, from fans to media members, will tell you the Celtics were the better team in the series, and then they don't win, and it's like, well, that's just what happens. And it's like, really? I mean, when a better team loses, don't they deserve some criticism? The flip side of it, too, is that they'll basically tell you, well, LeBron doesn't deserve any credit for beating the Celtics. You know, they weren't that good. But the Celtics were the better team.
They won it throughout.
Yeah, they won it both ways, which is mind-blowing.
Okay, quickly, off-season, should they just stand pat? Should they extend themselves to bring everybody back, Marcus Smart included? What's the approach there?
I mean, unless you're going to bring in somebody like, you know, Carl Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis, I think you sort of owe it to yourself to see what you can do with this core group of guys, with Hayward and Irving. Yeah, and Horford and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, see what you can do with those guys. You know, unless there's some generational big guy you're going to get, you know, whether it's Karl Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis, or if you think that guy's in the draft, which I do not. But
you don't think Mo Bamba is that guy?
No, I don't. I mean, I think Bamba will have a nice career. He's certainly an intriguing prospect. The wingspan is crazy. He can already shoot some from the outside. But do I think he's Anthony Davis or Karl Anthony Towns? No.
Yeah, to me, the only reason to do it is to, you know, if you're going to trade one of your principal pieces, you got to get yourself a legit established big man now, or you're trading something less and getting up in the draft and getting a project.
But you got to get a modern NBA big man. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just get some. You have to. You know, that's what Anthony Towns and Davis are. I mean, those are modern bigs. They can play defense on the pick and roll. They can shoot some from the outside.
And Bagley is, right, or should be?
Offensively.
He plays no defense.
No defense.
Disinterested on defense.
Okay, yeah. But Bamba's all defense, no offense.
He's raw. He's raw. I mean, he can shoot from the outside, but he's a raw player in terms of his offensive development. I mean, at this point, I saw him a little bit at Texas. You know, at this point, his offensive game is like Clint Capella with some three-point shots.
Okay, there's your Celtics minute. Mike and Woburn, what do you got for us today, Mike?
Hey, just a quick point, something out. Anybody but Kevin Durant, do you think that call goes to the replay?
If it's Steph Curry, probably the replay.
Yeah, I think Durant's star power has a huge influence on that getting a review in the first place. And again, that's one of the reasons why they got Kevin Durant, so they can compete with LeBron's star power, because LeBron gets that call 75%, 80% of the time with no review whatsoever for most of this league. I heard you talking about someone, and I had to chime in because you have deemed me your conspiracy theory expert. On the league and the National Hockey League and the Vegas Knights. The biggest thing that differentiated this expansion draft from any other was the fact that Vegas was allowed to feast on teams' mistakes with the cap. No other expansion draft has had a salary cap to factor in. Yes, there were a number of guys that they couldn't, The number of guys they could protect was less than previous years, but also there were guys that were automatically protected based on service time. They made people look like fools the goalie that could win the Conn Smythe was given to them with a second as a ball around it. Basically, make sure you take Marc-Andre Fleury because we need the cap space. Make sure you take David Clarkson. So you can stow his long-term injury
Mike, before you go too deep on their roster, please. My only point is I think people have made the mistake now that this is some sort of juggernaut roster. It's not. It's still an expansion roster. It is.
No, it's an expansion roster, but the way they built it was actually really smart. They went deep. They went heavy D. They actually picked one too many defense and had to change one of their picks. All their D are at least second pairing guy. So you've got basically four. You don't have to shelter anybody on their D.
Okay,
and
so
everybody on that roster is fast, Mike. It's loaded with speed.
Oh, no, they're fast as crap. There's no question about it. I don't think that. I love Colin Miller. I'm president of the Colin Miller fan club. I don't think he's a bona fide second pairing defenseman yet. He is on that team. I just think people have gone a little too far with the Vegas roster. Like, Riley Smith is on their first line. Is anyone anywhere? But before this, Riley Smith is a first-line Stanley Cup champion caliber, winger on a Stanley Cup team.
No, I think some people thought he was top six forward, but not.
Yeah,
but
he's got top six offensive skill most of the time, like at his most. He's playing at his own end. He's hitting people. Yeah, he's muscling people off the puck. It's like, no, they are still getting special performances from guys. And don't act now like they got gifted this world-beater goalie. No one would touch Marc-Andre Fleury with a 10-foot pole. And no one believed in that guy at that point.
It's an amazing story.
He's a Stanley Cup winning, multiple times Stanley Cup winning goalie.
Yes, who'd lost his job in the last 4 years and was just fodder. I don't think there's many teams that would have taken a chance on him for that contract.
I think he's better than most expansion goalies. I mean, James Neal's a legit guy. I think the thing that helped them was, did anybody think, William Karlsson was a 40-goal scorer?
They have some legit guys, but William Karlsson in Ottawa, again, you looked at the numbers the other day.
Oh, God, it's ridiculous. I'll get him again if you want.
He's a ham and egger.
Oh, yeah.
And he was given plenty of chances in Ottawa. It's not like he had no chance there. He was given plenty of chances in Ottawa. Couldn't do anything. Goes here and his 40-goal score?
He's legit, man.
I mean, he looks legit.
He does. Like, these are not, like, garbage, in front of the net, like, goals. Like, these are skill goals he scores.
But I'm telling you, they're coming. He wasn't doing this in Ottawa. And Riley Smith wasn't doing this here.
Well, he wasn't doing it in Ottawa because it looks like he never played in Ottawa. He played for Columbus.
It was Columbus. That's
Columbus,
right.
I'm sorry. Columbus.
Six of one half of the other.
Sorry, Columbus.
But he had played in 183 career games with Columbus and Anaheim and scored 18 goals.
Thank you.
That's 18 goals. About. This year he got 43. 43 goals. Like, talk about coming out of nowhere. He led the league. He was plus 49. Plus 49 led the league.
So I don't know. I have to be honest. But who's their coach?
Gerard Gallant.
Yeah, Gallant, the guy who was in Florida.
So is he like the Brad Stevens of the NHL?
He is. He was a good coach. They were stupid in Florida to let him go. He is. That's a guy that you would look at.
He's got a good reputation, yeah.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
He thought it was over.
Thought it was over.
He thought we were up one.
I would never give up on JR. It's not my MO. I don't give up on any of my players, so any of my teammates. So I don't think that even needs to be said.
Did he say anything to you guys?
No, he didn't. I thought we were all aware of what was going on. That's my view. So I don't know what JR was thinking. I don't know the question that you're trying to ask.
I was just trying to see if you knew exactly what his state of mind was. Did he think that you guys had it won, or did he think he was trying to make a play? Not sure.
Remy, I'm not sure. No, I don't know his state of mind.
Did you know if he knew the score?
Thank you.
I knew we were tied. It's just, I thought we was going to call timeout because I got the rebound. I'm pretty sure everybody didn't think I was going to shoot over Katie right there. So if I thought we were ahead, then I would have just held on to the ball that would foul me. But clearly that wasn't the case.
So there's the reaction right there from Ty Lue, LeBron James, and J.R. Smith from that just unconscionable play at the end of that finals game last night. What an insane ending. Chris Gasper wrapping up here with Felger Maz. We'll continue to take your calls until the 6 o'clock, really. Here's Matt in Gloucester on the Brady situation. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Felger, were you guys really talking Vegas hockey just now?
Yes, we were. Why?
Because I could count on my left hand the number of people who care about Vegas hockey, and two of them are in the room with you. Nobody cares.
All right, so what do you care about,
Brady? Listen, why do you guys keep piling on Brady with this OTA thing?
So what more specifically? What do you mean? I mean, I think it's bad for him to be missing these practices.
Do you think that it's going to hurt his legacy that he's not going to OTAs?
I don't really care about the legacy. I think it's a horrible look that he's not going to these. Horrible.
Why? What does it matter? Listen, can we all agree that we can pencil the Patriots into the AFC Championship game next year? Don't you think?
Probably.
So what does it matter? What are you talking about?
Because I've always bought into the hard work element that it relates to Brady and this team. It's a big part of their success.
He says he's not working hard. He's in the bubble right now for all passes to Edelman.
Yeah, he's not working in the same way that he has in the past. And that's a story to me.
Because he's probably with Guerrero and their style of physical training, right?
Yes, and the coach wants him. The coach wants him there, and he's not showing up. You don't think that's relevant?
How do you know the coach wants him there?
You don't think the coach wants a starting quarterback there for passing camps? Are you?
I think he wants
Matt,
him there
Matt,
for
mandatory Matt,
minicamp.
Matt,
yeah.
Hey, Matt, are you a moron?
Yeah.
Do you think the do you think? Let me just ask this again. Do you think the coach would want his quarterback to attend passing camps
when they're mandatory?
No. Yes or no? Does the coach want his? Does the coach dummy? Does the coach?
No. Listen,
dumb. Does a coach want a quarterback at passing camp? Yes or no?
Yes, he does. When they're mandatory, yes.
No. Whether they're mandatory or not, do you think Belichick wants his quarterbacks to attend passing camps?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
So do you think it's a story that Brady's not attending?
No.
So you're okay with players openly defying Bill Belichick?
No, he's not openly defying. That's what
you just said.
Sure he is.
You just said the coach wants him there. You just said it. I got it. It took a while. You just said the coach wants him there, right? And he's not there.
Have to be there.
So you're okay with players not doing what the coach wants.
If it's not mandatory, yeah. If you're given a choice.
So you're okay with no one showing up.
Okay?
You're okay with no one showing up.
I don't understand.
Matt, you're okay with no one showing up.
Well, you want rookies there, don't you?
No.
I mean, rookies will show up.
Well, it's all voluntary.
It's not mandatory, Matt. So you're okay with no one, with Bill saying we're doing a passing camp this week and no one shows up. You're okay with that?
Look, it would be better if the rookies show up and the people that are first with the Patriots, yeah. Brady, you think it matters that Brady's not at OTA?
Well, let me ask you this, Matt.
Why?
Because I'm in between you and Felger. So you're saying the rookies, right? Would it be better with the rookies to work with the quarterback they're going to play with during the season, Tom Brady, or to work with Brian Hoyer? What would help the rookies more?
I think at this point in their career, it's fine with Brian Hoyer because they're just getting game plans down. I mean, you don't agree with that.
Matt.
You don't agree with that.
You're
Felger.
Unbelievable. You are going to lose circulation to parts of your body because you've whacked yourself in such a pretzel that you're not going to get blood flow to your extremities because of this pretzel that you and your cohorts there have wrapped yourself into. Tom Brady not being at passing camps is not good form. It's not what the team is built on. It's not what he's built on. It's not what the coach wants. It's not good. How much does it damage him? We can debate that. but it's not a good thing. It's nothing you would ever endorse in the past. It's nothing you would ever say is good on any other team for any other player, but you do it here because you don't like the negative slant of the commentary.
Can you imagine if Tom, if this were a normal offseason and Tom were here and Ben Roethlisberger, who has not showed up in Pittsburgh, if he was not there, what do you think Patriots fans would be saying about Roethlisberger?
That's why they lose. That's why Roethlisberger's not Brady. They don't put in the work. Of course, I've been doing this for 18 years. I've 18 years I've been covering it or talking about it, and their off-season work ethic is tremendous. It's a huge part of their story, and we all buy in. And you know it. So now Tom doesn't show up. We're consistent saying, well, that's not a good thing, but you can't handle it because it's a little negative. So, again, I can't help you there. You need a fan support group to help you out. If you want to have a logical adult conversation, then maybe this is just not your place.
I mean, I just don't understand how fans can continue to ignore Brady giving the coach the finger. Like, again, I said this to you the other day. Is it going to show up on the field in the real games or on the? I don't know.
We can debate it.
I have no idea. I have no clue. But what I can tell you is that there is still dysfunction in that nucleus of the Patriots operation. The whole thing spins off the quarterback and the coach. The whole freaking thing.
These are called passing camps, dum-dum. You don't think the coach wants the guy throwing the ball in the passing camps there to pass the ball? He's asked all the players to show up. It's not mandatory, but 90% of them did. Every quarterback in the league did. This one didn't. But now it's cool? Now it's a sign of Brady's work ethic?
I'm for Brady, you know, doing this, but it's for spite. At least you don't hear me whining like that guy.
Oh, my God. It's totally for spite.
Yeah,
that's exactly
well
what
put.
It is.
It is for spite.
Yeah, because he has clearly said to Bill, listen, you'll get me when it's mandatory.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, it's optional. You have no control over me. You can't leverage me anymore. So I'll show up when I have to show up. The rest of the time, you're on your own.
Yeah, I never said
that's the message.
I never said it's a good look. You're a kook if you think it's a good look for the team and for Brady. I'm just pro-spite as well.
So there you go. At least you admit it. Gasper, any final thoughts?
No, I just on that point. I mean, you know, look, I have no concerns about Tom Brady being ready for the start of the season, and that's why I brought up what I brought up. It's about the other guys. And I was there yesterday, and, you know, it was fine. It was a fine practice, but it didn't have the intensity level of if Tom Brady's there. And if you're Jordan Matthews or Troy Nicholas, you know, one of these guys who's new to the team, don't you want to start? Haven't we always heard about building the rapport with the receivers? That's not happening right now. And so it's not so much about Tom being ready and his work ethic. He'll be ready. He's working hard. But these other guys who are also working hard, are they working smart? They can't because the quarterback they're going to work with is not there. And when he shows up, it's going to be like starting over.
No, you're upsetting people, Chris. Be careful. It's now okay to totally blow off passing camps if you're a starting quarterback. That's now cool. That's fine. I don't know if you knew that. Thanks for coming in, Christopher.
Good to see you guys.
No commercials, just an update from Murray, and we're right back for a final hour.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.